Welcome to Hot Yoga Radio. This fine day in November. This is going to be an episode of Interesting Times. The American election took place yesterday and it seems to be quite a nail-biting time since the result's not clear. And it will take some days to count the postal votes that many American citizens availed themselves of, which was probably a good idea in the time of pandemic. And it looks like a damn close run thing, and it's down to probably three states. And Donald Trump seems to have polled more votes on the vote that took place on the day than Biden, but the word on the street is that the millions of postal votes lean towards Biden and the Democrats. So we'll see, but I think there's a great deal of anxiety about this. Trump has been trolling the electorate for weeks now and claiming that because of a postal vote that some kind of rigging took place. He's even crying fraud, and the election has been stolen prior to the election, prior to anybody casting their vote. And it looks as though he will, if there's any shadow of a doubt, attempt to steal it. So, yeah, an anxious time, I would say, around the world. I mean, here I am in Wales, in the hills, miles from the next nearest human being. And yet, there it is, it's somehow in the air. Of course, America is still the hegemon for all of its troubles. And for all of its declining character, it's still the world hegemon. It still has by far the biggest military, with by far the most bases in over 100 countries, and a huge military spending, plus the fact that the dollar is still the reserve currency and tied to oil, you know, the petrodollar, very important. A state of affairs which looks to be less and less stable and less likely to continue. Nevertheless, this is still a hugely powerful nation and an empire with its own character and with its own very extensive soft power, as well as all this military might. And that's why the anxiety is probably being felt in many places. I did actually turn on the BBC World Service in the night to listen. And it's wall-to-wall election covering. Pundits from both sides come in and doing their cephology, I think it's called. And I couldn't stand it, to be honest with you. I just had to turn it off. So that's where we're at. I mean, here in the UK, we've just had the Prime Minister Johnson declare an England-wide lockdown for a month due to coronavirus and the infection rate going up exponentially, and hospitals feeling the strain. And Johnson tried to avoid this with local lockdowns. He's under a lot of pressure from business and the people they've managed to recruit as kind of riot fodder or as a demonstration fodder for their case that the economy is more important than saving a few old people from a horrible death. And whereas people in general got their socialist vibe on the first time we locked down across the UK, people were into mutual aid and clapping for the NHS and doing their bit. But now people are tired of it. And now the anti-masker, COVID hoaxers, irrational neo-Nazis are getting louder. And there's more traction for the idea that everything, we should just fucking forget it, you know, and go for boosting the, bringing the economy back from the hit that it's taken. All this in the run up to Brexit. Seems like Johnson is hanging out for a slim deal with the EU, which is still possible just about before the cut-off date on New Year's Eve or January the 1st, 21. Because what he does will depend on the result of the American election, which again shows the reach of the hegemon. I did jokingly say to Anna yesterday, we should have a vote because it affects us too. Maybe we could have half a vote, being as we're 3,000 miles away. But what happens there has a huge influence here. And I do think if Trump's out, that it'll take the wind out of the sails of, to some extent, to some of the right-wing dictators we've now got around the planet, who are organised through this right international. That you can hear in the background there is a warplane. They use the skies above Wales as a bit of a testing ground at certain times of the year, and they come howling down, sometimes very low. And they're a pain in the arse. Yeah, but just to remind you, the war is still the name of the game in many respects. So that's where we're at. So everything's up in the air in the UK as well. There's a lot of anxiety. The Labour Party's all over the place. You may have heard a podcast that I did, which based on a close reading of the AHRC report on alleged anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. And I did do an extensive podcast on that, and I did read it very, very closely and look into the background. And I'm still thinking about that and analysing what's going on there. And the thing that I would add is that the EHRC is not a squeaky clean, objective, or even competent organisation. And the people in office in that government organisation seem to have sort of quite a sort of conservative bias. And I'm not sure if the person I was reading about is still a commissioner of the EHRC, but at least there was, and maybe still is, somebody with very close ties to Serco. And my next podcast in the fascism series is about the way Serco and the government are completely in bed with each other. The two halves of a marriage, two cogs in a machine. And it's not in Serco's interest for Labour, of a Corbyn style of Labour at least, to get any political power, because their outsourcing empire would probably take a hit. I think Corbynist Labour isn't in general in favour of this kleptocratic outsourcing, which has proved completely incapable of dealing with the pandemic crisis. So anyway, you can guess from this ramble that it is a shitstorm. It is a kind of single storm, though. All the parts relate to each other. This is how we need to look at it, rather than chopping it up too much into segments. At least in our thinking, we need to realise that we have embedded and entangled systems. It makes it harder to analyse, but it also gives you more accuracy and more predictive power. And more polemical power, incidentally, even though that might not be your first ambition in thought about where we're at. This is the way it works. Whoever wins the popular vote in a particular state is in a winner-takes-all situation. And all of that, the states electoral college delegates are sent to the electoral college, and they all have to vote in the electoral college for the winner of the popular vote
in that state.
And each state's got a number of electoral college delegates, whatever they're called, and the number of such delegates varies according to the population of the state, and I'm not sure how often this is updated and so forth. But in the original constitution, I mean, the founding fathers were experimenting, were trying their best to put something together, just trying to hack out a compromise. And this was a compromise, many people believe, that placated the slave states, bearing in mind that many of the founding fathers were themselves slave owners. And in the population count, which determined the number of delegates of the electoral college, a slave was counted as 3/5 of a human being. So the slave population could swell the numbers of delegates in the electoral college. I mean, the upshot of this system is that basically it's anti-democratic. Trump lost the last election, but nevertheless gained the presidency because of this system. I'd say he lost the popular vote by 3 million. It wasn't by a few thousand or a few hundred, 3 million. Another famous case is that of Al Gore, which is a case of an election being decided by the Supreme Court, because everything hung on Florida, and you may recall this. And Al Gore won the popular vote by 500,000, but the second George Bush became the president and went on to perpetrate the Iraq War. So it's not democratic. There is concern about this in the United States, and I think there have been many attempts to get this changed, because it's in the Constitution, that's not very easy. Somebody came up with a novel idea, and this seems to be gaining some traction. And again, you know, it's a little bit away from home, so I'm not 100% sure of the detail. But it goes something like this. If a state Congress decides it wants to do something about the electoral college system, and there are plenty of people in state congresses want this, the plan is to make a compact with other states to give their electoral college votes to the winner of the popular vote in the country. So I say there's two candidates. I'll just say in this election that Biden gets 3 million more votes than Donald Trump in an election in which there's no funny business and it's all above board. Then states who are in this accord would award their electoral college votes to Biden rather than to who won the popular vote in their state. And if sufficient states agree on this, and I think there's a good number already said they're going to do this, they might even be, well, they're not going to do it this time, I don't think. And if it was over half the states, it'd give it a lot of legitimacy as well. And that way, the problem of having to modify the constitution, which would be politically far more difficult, would be overcome. Anyway, may you live in interesting times. I don't get much more kind of interesting in that Chinese sense. The next few days are going to be very interesting. And I should say the American cities, I don't know whether I mentioned this earlier on in the talk, of many places the shops are all boarded up, you know. And there are armed militias running around the place in pickup trucks and so forth. It's very, very scary. Anyway, have a happy apocalypse. Make knowledge great again. Lots of love to you.